Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's masterpiece for October the 25th. I'm Thomas Stevens. Police enter a small flat belonging to a reclusive pensioner and stumble across a treasure trove of art suspected of having been looted by the Nazis. What sounds like the plot of a Hollywood thriller actually happened in 2012 in Munich and stunned the art world.
I was in London. I was a little tired because my sister had just had a big party the night before. And my brother-in-law said, there's a big story on the BBC News website that you might want to look at. And I looked, and then I checked my BlackBerry, and my Bloomberg colleagues had been trying to reach me to tell me all about it. I was flying back to Berlin the next morning from London, and I was on the phone in taxis, on the phone in the airport. And then when I got to the office, of course, it was a question of just getting started straight away on the story.
Catherine Hickley has joined me in the studio. She's a Berlin-based arts journalist and is writing a book about the whole affair and the collection of art which belonged to Cornelius Gurlitt. In an exclusive in-depth interview, she describes Gurlitt's flat and his personality and also explains the legal situation of the collection, the challenges of dealing with suspected Nazi art, the Swiss connection, and what happens next. Do we know what his flat was like? I mean, and how did he order his paintings? Was it like sort of normal people with CDs, you know, alphabetically, by genre, chronologically? Do we know how he, what his flat was like? It's small, but apart from that...
Yeah, it was small. It wasn't super small. It was 80 square metres, so which is a decent size for one person. He had racks with the pictures on them. He had some prints and graphics in drawers. Some works in the cupboard, others in a suitcase, and a couple were hanging on the wall that we know. And the art historian who viewed them said that they were stored correctly, and some of them were a little bit dirty and needed cleaning, but there was not, you know, they had been looked after.
We'll get on to the legal aspects in a minute, but first, what do we know about Cornelius Gurlitt? He seems to have been a recluse who visited Switzerland from time to time to sell a painting to get a bit of money to live off. But it doesn't sound as though he's the easiest person to write a book about.
He's not, and he's not actually the focus of my book. I've devoted one chapter to Cornelius Gurlitt's life, but his father is, I think, the more interesting character.
That's Hildebrand Gurlitt, who was an art dealer for the Nazis under Goebbels.
Cornelius Gurlitt was extremely reclusive. I've spoken to a couple of people who were at school with him or who knew him when he was younger. But finding people who knew him as an adult is extremely difficult because he eschewed contact with most people. It's even difficult to know where he was. Some of the time he was in his house in Salzburg and some of the time he was in Munich. But he blinded all the windows. He didn't answer the door. He didn't answer letters. He didn't pick up the phone. He really kept himself to himself. So actually getting details about him is difficult, and maybe there's really not all that much to tell. He stayed at home, he looked at his pictures,
And the pictures really did seem to be his life. The case seemed to take a heavy toll on him. I mean, he died not long after everything...
I think that's right, and I think there's a huge question mark over whether he loved the pictures in the way that he said he did. He said they were like his friends, that he talked to them, that he looked at them in the evenings. I wonder how much he actually loved the artworks and to what extent they'd become a burden, a psychological burden. His guardian and the people who found the artwork stashed in his Salzburg house said it was clear that the whole collection had become too much for him. He had those paintings were not well looked after, and they were stashed among rubbish and cobwebs and dust and grime, and basically, he just left the whole lot to decay because he couldn't cope with it anymore. I think mentally and physically, he was also not well, as we know. He had a serious heart condition, and the whole thing seemed to have just got too much for him.
Thank you. most people might think that someone who is busted stashing more than a billion francs worth of art connected to the Nazis has done something illegal. But Gullit hadn't actually broken any laws, had he? The 9,000 euros that German customs officers found on him coming back from Switzerland that sort of triggered, got this ball rolling, that was below the reporting limit. That wasn't a crime. Why did the German prosecutor target him?
Yes, that's a very big question. And most people who know a lot about the case think that the seizure of his art collection was legally very hard to justify, and that the prosecutor acted somewhat overzealously in taking the whole lot, that it was disproportionate to the suspicions that they had against him.
Because individuals are under no legal requirement to return Nazi-looted art.
There's also that. It was a tax inquiry. It began as a tax inquiry. When they found the money on him in the train, they assumed that he'd stashed away money in Switzerland in order to evade taxes in Germany. And, of course, there have been a lot of stories of that, these whistleblowers and these CDs that have been sold across the border. And the customs officials are particularly watchful on the trains coming from Switzerland to Germany. So, yeah, he was caught with 9,000 euros on him, which was below the limit, of course, so he was within his legal rights.
Which is 10,000 euros.
Yeah. But as the customs authorities put it, if someone is that close to the maximum that you're allowed to take, then they know they're familiar with the law and they wonder, you know, why they're familiar with the law. What else have they got? I think at one point they suspected him of being part of a shady network of dealers in southern Germany and Switzerland who were selling Nazi looted art on the black market. And that, of course, was wrong.
So legally, he hasn't actually done anything wrong. But morally, do you think he should have come forward sooner and offered to get experts looking at these?
Of course. I mean, that's the case with all private owners who have art that they think might be looted. You know, you're living with something that's actually very difficult to sell, or perhaps easier to sell than it should be. But in the long term, the art is only going to regain its value if the provenance is completely clear and transparent. And in cases where it is stolen, of course, there's a moral obligation to reach a settlement with the owners, the heirs of those who were looted and plundered by the Nazis as part of their policy of racial persecution against the Jews.
Cornelius Gullit died in May 2014, but there is yet another twist in this extraordinary tale when, in his will, he named the Bern Museum of Fine Arts as the sole heir. What was your reaction when you heard he had bequeathed his collection to Bern?
Well, I was betting that he would have left it to Salzburg, to the museum in Salzburg. I thought it would go to Austria because that's where he had his second home, or his first home, according to where he was actually registered as a resident. I'm not surprised that he didn't leave it to Germany, and I'm not surprised that he was very bitter with the treatment that he got in Germany since 2012 when they came to seize his collection. He felt that he had been really mistreated by the German authorities, and I think that must be what caused him to decide that he wasn't going to leave it to a German institution, that it was going to go abroad.
Yeah. Oh, and Switzerland wasn't a completely random choice. I mean, it does have this rather unenviable reputation as being a bit of a hub for dealing Nazi art. How do you rate Switzerland's performance when it comes to the restitution of looted art?
Switzerland has a very mixed record, and I suppose like most countries, there are some museums that are more willing to hand back artworks that they know are stolen than others. However, a lot of the museums in Switzerland have not conducted provenance research. They haven't completed an investigation of their collections in order to identify which works could have been stolen by the Nazis. And, of course, I'm not even talking about the private collections. And Switzerland has a huge history of fantastic private collections, about which, you know, some of which we know very little, I'm sure. So I'm sure there's a lot of Nazi looted art in Switzerland.
The Bern Museum of Fine Arts said in May, just after his death and just after he got the news that it'd been bequeathed this, that it would think about whether to accept the collection and would give an answer by the end of the year. I think the most recent date seems to be November the 26th, when the museum's board is set to meet. But what's the problem? If someone offers you more than 1 billion francs worth of masterpieces, you say yes on the spot, don't you?
Well, you have to think about it. Also, I would take issue with the 1 billion francs figure. It's very difficult to value an art collection like that. When Focus first broke the report, they said €1 billion worth of art. But we must remember that only a proportion of the collection is paintings, which are the most valuable thing, and a lot of the other is graphic art, which can be much less higher priced. It's very hard to put a figure on it. I mean, we can certainly say that it's worth 100 million or more. 1 billion seems a little bit high. Anyway, yes, so why wouldn't you just take it? It seems like a present. And is it looking a gift horse in the mouth to say, well, we have to think about that? I think it was very sensible of Bound to say not to just jump at it. You have to be very clear that you have a massive responsibility. Obviously, there's a huge burden of responsibility that goes with a collection like this. On the other hand, it seems to me a bit of a no-brainer that you would say yes, because the task force in Germany is actually doing all the provenance research. That's the expensive thing. And the task force has said that it will do the provenance research for as long as it's required to do it. So the responsibility for finding the heirs of works that might be looted is firmly in Germany and not with the Kunstmuseum. On the other hand, Switzerland, I think, is very sensitive about its role in the Third Reich as the sort of money lender to the Nazis, and the whole subjects of the insurance policies and the bank accounts and the gold. You know, that's all still quite new. That's the 1990s. And it's true, as you say, that Switzerland was also a hub for Nazi looted art in the period during the war and after the war.
The museum will eventually say yes, won't it?
I don't know, and of course they haven't decided yet, but it would amaze me enormously if they said no. I would also think it was incredibly irresponsible, because to take 6 months to decide and then say no is unforgivable. I mean, some of the heirs who are waiting for their pictures back, and the whole process has been held up by this decision-making, to keep them waiting and then turn around and say, nah, actually, you know, we don't think we're going to do it, would be completely irresponsible.
OK, well, assuming that the Kunstmuseum does accept the collection, what will happen to it? Will it all stay together? Will parts of it stay in Germany? And how much of it will the public be able to see?
Well, we hope, of course, the vast majority of it. I mean, when we're looking at how many of the artworks are actually proven to be stolen, so far there are only two that we conclusively know are stolen, that the task force have said are stolen. There are at least half a dozen more where there are extremely credible claims that need to be examined, and I'm sure that we'll be hearing more about those. But that's less than a dozen artworks out of 1,500. I'm sure there are others in the collection that are stolen, and I hope that will all come to light. It's going to take years and years to investigate it all.
Catherine Hickley, whose book on the Gurlitt collection will be published next year. Its working title is Munich Art Hoard. SwissInfo.ch will be following closely the Bern Museum of Fine Arts decision on November the 26th. Thanks for listening. Read more about these stories and other news and views at SwissInfo.ch. The music during this programme was taken from Pictures at an Exhibition by Modest Mussorgsky. I'm Thomas Stevens.